or I give you opportunity to test the spirits of the communicator. Do so by getting in fellowship. So make sure you're still in fellowship as we continue on here in Genesis 8, finishing up the chapter now with verses 20 through 22, where we have Noah's offering and then Yahweh's, the Lord's, response. So they disembarked, and now we see the first action of notoriety made by Noah after the fact. Looking at here the Hebrew, parsing the verses. Maybe. Movie. User one to something. I don't know who the hell that person is. Come on. Good thing we covered the doctrine of testing, is it not? Anybody knows what to do, step up. Nothing else succeeds. Turn it off, wipe it out, start all over. Okay, be patient. Oh, we did that doctrine too, didn't we? Am I sweating? Yes, I am. Feel free to commit humor and verbally bullshit if you like. I didn't say that, did I? Alright, now I got this hot light for my lamp. Ah! They'll get there. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord. Here in the Hebrew, you have the wow consecutive with the cow in perfect third masculine singular, our verb to build or fashion. Here is bana. B-A-N-A-H. We saw it back in 2:22, this particular verb. In regards to building the woman from the rib of Adam, built or fashioned. It was also used in 4:17 in regards to Cain building a city. So here we see that Noah fashioned or built here an altar. After the verb, you had the proper noun, Noach, transliterated, Noah. Our noun for altar here, common masculine singular absolute, Mizabeka, M-I-Z-E-B-B-E-C-H-A. An altar to the Lord. You have the preposition lamed, denoting direction. Proper noun here, Lord, is Yahweh in the Hebrew, Y-A-H-W-E-H. Usually when you have it in the New American Standard, the Lord will be in all caps when that word Yahweh is in view. And took of every clean animal, a very clean bird, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. PETA had a heyday with Noah, except they weren't around. Well, consecutive, our verb to take here is calum perfect third masculine singular, lacach, L-A-C-H-A-C-H. He took literally from every clean animal. You have the preposition men. Our noun every is a common masculine singular, construct coal, every or all. Then our noun for animal here would be translated probably beast. A common feminine singular absolute, behema. It can mean cattle in its most technical sense. In general, it means every animal or beast. B-E-H-E-M-A-H. And from every beast, the clean one, literally. Every clean animal. You have the definite article, adjective, feminine, singular, absolute. Our word for clean is tahor, T-A-H-O-R. And, while conjunction, from men, every coal repeated. Then our noun for bird with a definite article here, common masculine singular absolute, oph, O-P-H. Here also clean, your adjective masculine singular absolute, tahor repeated. From every bird, the clean one, literally. And offered burnt offerings. While consecutive, then the hifil, imperfect third masculine singular, to offer a burnt offering is causative. The hifil is causative in the Hebrew. He caused this to happen. It is our verb alah, A-L-A-H, a burnt offering, followed with our common feminine plural noun absolute, alah, then ola. So it's a whole, which means a whole offering. So the entire creature was offered up. O-L-A-H. So you have Allah Ola, whole burnt offerings. On the altar, preposition bait. Then our noun for altar, again, common masculine singular with the definite article, Mizebekah. And then we see Yahweh's reaction to his application here. And the Lord smelled the soothing aroma. While consecutive, Hifel, again, causative, imperfect third masculine singular, Riach, to smell. He caused the smell, R-I-Y-A-C-H. Proper noun, Yahweh, the Lord. Then you have the sign of the direct object, followed with the noun, common masculine singular, construct for aroma is Riach, R-E. Y-A-C-H, so Ola-Ola, Riach, Riach. aroma, scent, fragrance, which is here described as soothing. You have the definite article, common masculine singular absolute, Nicoach, N-I-Y-C-H-O-A-C-H, soothing or quieting, settling. Calming, if you will. Here translated soothing aroma, obviously looking at the scent or fragrance of the fire, the smoke from the fire. And this further causes a determination in regards to Yahweh. And the Lord said to himself, while consecutive, our verb to say, cal, imperfect, third masculine singular here, amar, A-M-A-R. And he said, Yahweh, proper noun, the Lord, to himself. Here he is speaking, to, if you will, within himself. You have the preposition L, E-L. And then you have literally the common masculine singular noun construct with the third masculine singular suffix, our word for heart, leb, lev, L-E-B. It's a soft V. Literally, he said the Lord to his heart. Language of accommodation. I will never again curse the ground on account of man. You have the negative particle lo, L-O. Follow with the hifil, again causative, imperfect, first common singular verb, yasaph, Y-A-S-A-P-H. Will not do again. Follow with the preposition lamed. And then PL infinitive construct, our verb to curse here, intensive active, the PL form, utterly, if you will, curse, kalal, Q-A-L-A-L. I will not do again, curse, followed with the preposition ode, O-D, still or in continuance, again. Sign a direct object, definite article, and the object here in view is common feminine singular absolute, a word for ground, adama, from where the word Adam, man, comes from, A-D-A-M-A-H, ground, soil, is in view. Man's made out of dirt, sophisticated, highly sophisticated dust. That's why we decompose when we die. Curse the ground on account of man. You have the preposition bait, followed with the preposition abur, A-B-U-R, on account of, as it would be translated, man, definite article. Then our adama, shortened to Adam, Adam, A-D-A-M. Then he gives cause for the intent of man's heart is evil from his youth. It almost sounds paradoxical. He's not going to curse, and because the evilness of man's heart. you have the conjunction key, K-I-Y, the cause or for. The intent here is a common masculine singular noun construct, yetzer, Y-E-T-S-E-R. Intent or form of. Then our word for heart is repeated here as attributed to the man, common masculine singular construct, leb, L-E-V, L-E-B. The man, definite article, Adam, repeated, the heart of man, is evil. You have no to be verb in the Hebrew. It's understood here you have a predicate adjective to bring out the predicate is. You have the adjective masculine singular absolute raw. This is as an example how it is put into the understanding. R-A is evil. From his youth, preposition men. And then you had the common masculine plural construct with the third masculine singular suffix ne'erim. N-E-U-R-I-Y-M. Ne'erim, from his youth or early life. And I will never again destroy every living thing as I have done. While conjunction, negative particle lo, then our verb again, to do again, here not again, causative, yasaph, Y-A-S-A-P-H, hifil, again, first common singular. Still, preposition ode for emphasis, continuance, in continuance, O-D. Destroy is the preposition lamed plus the hifil infinitive construct of our verb nakah, N-A-K-A-H. Destroying the infinitive in the Hebrew, you translate it like a participle in the English. Now, will cause destroying or striking, as it may be, every living thing. That you had to sign it a definite article to know the object in view. Common mask and singular construct, noun following coal, then living thing, that's every. Living thing is the adjective, masculine, singular, absolute, K, C-H-A-Y. As I have done, you have the preposition cough, K-A-P-H, as or like. Which, relative pronoun, Asher. Like which, literally, A-S-H-E-R. I have done. Our do verb here is our verb we've seen in the past. I saw, cal, perfect, first common singular, A-S-A-H. Verse 22, so God takes on the responsibility of destroying the planet. Oh, God would never do anything like that. Okay. Do you not ever read the scriptures? Verse 22, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night, shall not cease. In the Hebrew text, this is seen as poetic. You have the preposition ode, O-D, followed with the common masculine singular construct, coal. Followed with the common masculine plural construct, our word for days, yom, Y-O-M, followed with a definite article, and our noun for earth, common feminine singular absolute, eretz, E-R-E-T-S, the Hebrew literally, while all of the days of the earth, still all the days of the earth, is the literal translation. Seed time and harvest. Seed time is a common masculine singular absolute. Obviously, periods are in time is in view. You have our noun for seed, zera, Z-E-R-A. Here, emphasizing the planting, seizing, sowing of the seed. While conjunction, then our noun, common masculine singular absolute for harvest. Katsir, Q-A-T-S-I-Y-R. Seed time, seed and harvest, seed time and harvest. And then, and cold and heat, common masculine singular absolute, core, for cold, Q-O-R. Something that's new to them now. The environment has changed dramatically. While conjunction, then our noun for heat or hot is common masculine singular absolute chom or chom, C-H-O-M. And while conjunction, summer and winter, summer is our common masculine singular noun absolute kayits, Q-A-Y-I-T-S. While conjunction, then autumn or winter is the common noun, common masculine singular absolute, koreph, C-O-R-E-P-H. And then, and day and night shall not cease, while conjunction, our noun for day again, yom, Y-O-M. While conjunction, then our noun for night, common masculine singular absolute, Laela. L-A-Y-E-L-A-H, will not cease, negative particle low, cal and perfect third masculine plural, our word Shavath, C-A-C-A-S-H-A-B-A-T-H, they will not cease. All right, we're reading here the verses 20 through 22. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord, to Yahweh, and took of every animal a clean one, and every bird clean, and offered burnt offerings offered on the altar. Verse 21, and the Lord smelled the quieting or soothing aroma. And the Lord said to himself, I will never again curse the ground, utterly curse the ground, on account of man. For the intent of man's heart is evil from his youth. And I will never again destroy every living thing as I have done. Verse 22, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, the seasons, and day and night shall not cease. All right, analysis of verses 20 through 22. 1, verses 20 through 22 sets the foundation, the basis, for the divine promise will be related, presented in chapter 9, verses 1 through 17, also known as the Noahic Covenant. The Noahic Covenant. Covenant is a promise or a contract that now is made between God and man. So 2, it centers, and these verses sets the foundation for that. Introduces us to it. 2, it centers on the very first notable act performed by Noah after the ark was vacated. Quote, then Noah built an altar to the Lord. End quote. 3, verse 20 records the first building of an altar, a mizbeach in the Hebrew, in Scripture, though one is presupposed, or was presupposed, in chapter 4, verses 3 through 5, in regards to Cain and Abel's offerings, Cain simply bringing, as a farmer, his vegetables or fruits from his garden, Abel offered an animal sacrifice. So that implies, obviously, that the sacrificial system as a teaching aid in regards to salvation was already established. It was established very early on at the very inception in regards to the history of mankind. Adam knew of it. He passed it down to his sons, Cain and Abel. Now they're of age where they are to make their own applications in this respect. And as we know, as the story went, God rejected Cain's offering because it was an offering of that's based on works. That his human good can get him into heaven through his own works, rather than through grace and the sacrifice of another on behalf of the individual. Part of the problem of the human race, Christians included, is they do not understand truly what it takes to have a relationship with God and to get into heaven. And everybody wants to add their own little two cents of I can do something to add to salvation, such as faith plus works. And they don't recognize that the attribute that one must possess to get into heaven is absolute righteousness. Corinthians tells us that Christ, who knew no sin, became sin on our behalf. Why? So we could have the righteousness of God in him. And that righteousness of God is perfect. It's absolute. We put a plus in front of plus R, see? Absolute righteousness. It is not based on relative righteousness. And obviously, we come in the world, everyone has sinned and falls short of the glory of God. So once you become imperfect, you can never be perfect. Logic. Again, 101. And there's only one that is has this perfect righteousness that can be made available on our behalf, and that's through the person of Jesus Christ. He came in the world spiritually alive, not spiritually dead, and he did not sin at all in his humanity. And he therefore possessed his plus R, and he sacrificed that for us on the cross. See? Hence, it has to be through a system of faith. There is no other system that would work because we are imperfect to begin with. We are born in the world. Our body genetically is sinful in nature. That's why you sit there and you have these urges that are wrong. Where does that come from? It's your genetic code. Yeah, we understand this. And in this respect, and once the fact that we're imperfect, we need some way otherwise, which God has provided for us, to obtain God's plus R. And when we believe in Christ, we then share in His Spirit. We are reborn. We are born again. Regeneration is the technical term used for it. Our human spirit, which was lost in the garden through natural life, through Adam and Eve's first disobedience, act of disobedience and sin, we are able to recapture it through our faith in Christ, and we become a spiritual person again. See, this is the way this works. This is a doctrine. Learned that in Sunday school. See. So, Cain and Abel, they made their respective offerings, obviously implied in regards to Abel's offering was an altar that he sacrificed his animals, the firstlings of his flock, in homage, in recognition of the coming Messiah that he would believe, that he believed in for his own salvation. See, salvation's been the same throughout history. Your perspective of where you're looking from obviously depends where you live in history. For Old Testament saints, they look forward in time for their Messiah. They believe that He would come on the scene. See, if you lived during the time of Christ, the challenge there was to believe right then and there the person Jesus, as He proclaimed Himself to be Messiah. We look past, look back in time. He was the Messiah. See. So, sacrifice was implied as being part of the ritualistic code of the age of the Gentiles, which we term this particular dispensation to the giving of the law, which then changed the dispensational premise to the age of Israel. And sacrifice was part of that. And again, it's a teaching aid. God doesn't want sacrifice. He makes this clear. What He wants is righteousness, the right thing to do, see, as He makes and implies in Scripture in this regard. He wants compassion, things of this nature. But it's essential in regards to teaching, to teach the doctrine, that in order for salvation to be provided to man, someone's going to have to be killed, see, and offered up to God in this fashion. And the very first notable act now that we see in regards to Noah as he gets off the ark is that he proclaims this doctrine in action through application. He's having a Bible class, if you will, right here in this sacrifice on the altar. Just like the temple, the tabernacle, these were all elaborate teaching aids given to teach the doctrine. They are symbolic and represent things. They are not the actual things. So verse 20 records the first building of the altar, of an altar, though obviously it's, we assume it was already being used in this fashion beforehand. So verse 20 also records the first mention of a specific category of sacrificial offering. And that is whole burnt offerings. Ola in the Hebrew. Whole burnt offerings. Recognizing they put the entire animal on the broiler. So 5, the corresponding verb, offered, Allah, means to ascend or go up. That's the literal meaning, to go up, ascend. And here it points to the smoke that arises while the sacrifice is cooking, as it's on the fire. 6, in it, the entire animal was slaughtered, as they would cut the carotid artery in regards to the animal and let it bleed out, bleed to death. And was placed on an altar with fire consuming the carcass until it was reduced to ashes. Hence, it's referred to as a burnt offering, an offering, a ritual that was carried on into the age of Israel, as brought out under the Mosaic Law, Exodus 29:18. after you slaughter here, the ram is the animal in view. Verse 18, you shall offer up and smoke the whole ram on the altar. It is burnt offering to the Lord. So in this fashion, in this particular style of sacrifice, it's the whole animal that is laid out in the sacrifice. It is a soothing aroma, an offering by fire to the Lord. And it would say there, and burn until it turned to ashes, till it was gone. Like the hot dog that fell through the slats when you're trying to cook out and it's no longer there after a while. See? To ashes. So this was the first mention of a whole burnt offering. 7, the burnt offering is the most common and basic of the offerings prescribed under the law. Different ways to make offerings. There were libations where wine or other liquid is used, and certain animals could be used, different animals, etc. So there was a diversity of styles of offerings. This was the most basic offering. Obviously, it symbolizes the person of Jesus Christ on the cross. So 8, the procedure for offering this sacrifice is described in Leviticus 1. Here in Leviticus 1, we have the recording of offerings as is presented in conjunction with the establishment of the tabernacle. Again, as I've mentioned, all these things are elaborate teaching aids. Before the temple proper was built, obviously, Jews for 40 years were fairly nomadic. They were moving around all over the place. So they had a trailer tent, a tent that they took around with them called the tabernacle. And this is what they established in regards to performing their priestly duties. And again, it was all established as an elaborate teaching aid regards to God's plan in this respect. And here we have an overlay of the tabernacle precincts as it would be established. You had an outer curtain that was surrounded the tabernacle or the tent proper in this regards. And they all had certain colors that were designated for different things. The pillars that were made were to be made specifically according to divine design. Some would have bronze, some would have gold, some would have silver accoutrements or overlays in regards to these things. All this is significant as a symbolic in regards to salvation and the different doctrines attributed to salvation. White looks at God's absolute righteousness. See, bronze in Scripture represents judgment. Silver represents redemption. He purchased us when He was on the cross. He redeemed us from the slave market of sin with that token of absolute righteousness. Gold represents deity. Wood represents humanity. And you had the curtain that went all the way around the tabernacle. There was only one entrance in regards to getting to the tabernacle. It always faced east. It looks at the fact there's only one way to salvation. And when you came into what was called the outer court, and the first thing you see is this huge bronze altar. Bronze, again, being judgment. And it is on this altar that animal sacrifices are made. Now, the sophistication of this thing is beyond usually what you will see pictured in regards to movies and things of this nature. I mean, you're literally talking about thousands of people coming in to sacrifice, to make these sacrifices, offer these animals for sacrifice. And it's the priest's responsibility and duties to get up there and cut their carotid artery and let them bleed out. So they had troughs and all this other stuff that is connected to this so all this stuff could drain off of there. They could wash it out. But then on the altar, the animal would be placed. And burnt according to the type of offering here for our intents and purposes, a whole burnt offering according to the offering in view. And that is symbolic of the person of Jesus Christ who was judged in his body and sacrificed in regards to the sins of mankind. And that represents phase one. That's phase one, the salvation adjustment, faith in this person. Then you enter into phase two when you get into the tabernacle proper. And right outside that door, you had a bronze laver that was filled with water. That represents, that's symbolic of rebound, 1 John 1:9. Under the penalty of death, the priest was put under if they failed to wash off their feet, a part of the body, not the whole entire body, before they entered into the front portion of the tabernacle, which represents the believer's phase two. That's phase two. And there you had certain furniture that was there to teach certain things. The candelabra represented God the Holy Spirit. That was the only light that was provided, source of light, in regards to the tent. The table of showbread, the manna, that represents Bible doctrine. Table of altar of incense, it was located on the back wall in a curtain that divided the front part from the back part. That had the motif of angels in blue, color blue, etc. That shows a division between phase two and phase three. And the altar of incense, obviously, you take it to the throne of grace, which is in phase three. God in his heavenly kingdom. The priest, in order to, only the high priest is allowed to go into the most holy place. We call this the holy place, the first part. Then the most holy place is where the Ark of the Covenant was located. And only the high priest is allowed to go there. The high priest is symbolic of Jesus Christ. He is our great high priest. A priest was, for us, symbolic of a believer. See? And they come in phase two, you get in fellowship, and you perform your phase two in this condition. Then the high priest, once a year, would go into the most holy place. This is where God chose to manifest himself in theophany, where he supernaturally exposed himself in some form or fashion here as light. And he provided the light in phase three, in the back part of the tabernacle. And the Ark of the Covenant, again, all representative of the person of Jesus Christ, deity, and the things that are attributed in regards to his person and salvation. So, this gives you an idea. That's phase two, phase three, where we're coming from. In regards to Leviticus, the picture of what's going on here. So then the Lord called to Moses and spoke to him from the tabernacle, the tent of the meeting, saying, this is where God often chose to communicate in regards to Moses. Speak to the sons of Israel. Moses is like their shepherd, their pastor. Speak to the sons of Israel and say to them, when any man of you brings an offering to the Lord, you shall bring your offering of animals from the herd or the flock. Whether it's a large cattle type of offering or from sheep, rams, steers, or cattle. And the offerings had to be perfect, no blemish on them, representing the person of Jesus Christ without sin, all these other things. It is his and then verse 3, if his offering is a burnt offering from the herd, This is where the burnt offerings come from. He shall offer it. A male without defect. He shall offer it in the doorway of the tent of the meeting. That is where the bronze altar is located. That he may be accepted before the Lord. In order to get into God's plan, first of all, you've got to believe. If you don't believe in Jesus Christ, then anything else you do in regards to trying to apply the Bible is a waste of time. I mean, essentially, in regards to your eternal disposition. What good is it to go around confessing your sins if you're not even a believer in Christ? To apply a rebound, put the cart before the horse, you know, all these other things that believers like to involve themselves in, rather than just keeping things in their proper perspective and priorities. And you shall lay his hand on the head of the burnt offering. That looks at laying hands on the head looks at authority and a transference of the sins. See, the priest transfers his sins, a transfer to the person of Jesus Christ. Now this is pretty cool stuff if you know what's going on. Most Christians out there in Fundy's world, the Old Testament God is a whole different thing than the New Testament. No. Same God. Same doctrine. It's just disseminated in a different way. Communicated in a different way. Using elaborate teaching aids. But there's still direct communication. And it's up to the priest to teach what these things represented. See. Anyway. That it may be accepted for him to make atonement on his behalf. To be appeased. Before God, and he shall slay the young bull before the Lord. And Aaron's sons, the priests, the Aaronic priesthood, shall offer up the blood and sprinkle the blood on the altar that is at the doorway of the tent of meeting. And again, this looks at Christ's work on the cross, the significance of it, the power of it as it pertains to serving God. See. Some of it would fall on the ground and get trampled over. Well, that looks at Christ's work on the cross. Is available for all under unlimited atonement. But the majority of men will reject it. But it still didn't mean that he didn't die for them otherwise. When people die and go to hell, it's not because of their how rotten they were, their sins. They die and go to hell because they don't believe in Jesus Christ. Now, how they end up in eternity in regards to God's economy depends on what they do in time with respect to their Christian life. But getting there is a different ball game. And he shall then scan the burnt offering and cut it into pieces, verse 6. An expert butcher. The sons of Aaron, the priest shall put fire on the altar and arrange wood on the fire. It's all their responsibilities. And Aaron's son, the priest, shall arrange the pieces, the head and the soot, over the wood which is on the fire that is on the altar. Its entrails, however, and its legs be shall wash with water. And the priest shall offer up and smoke all on the altar for a burnt offering, an offering by fire and a soothing aroma to the Lord. The water represents the cleansing action of Bible doctrine on behalf of the whole situation. But if his offering is from the flock of the sheep or the goats for a burnt offering, he shall offer a male without defect. And he shall slay it on the side of the altar northward before the Lord. And Aaron's son, the priest, shall sprinkle his blood around on the altar. He'll cut it into pieces with his head and his foot. And the priest shall arrange them. His torso, in the wood which is on the fire that is on the altar. The entrails, however, the legs, he shall wash with water. And the priest shall offer all of it and offer it up and smoke on the altar. It is a burnt offering, an offering by fire, a soothing aroma to the Lord. Then you have the offerings of the birds. But if his offering to the Lord is a burnt offering of birds, then he shall bring his offering from the turtle doves or from young pigeons. And the priest shall bring it to the altar, wring off his head. Fun. Grandma and her chickens out there on the farm. I'll never forget. That's some visuals I'll never forget. One in each hand. Bam. Ringing. And you wondered why all your aunts and uncles ran when grandma was mad. there's a whole different meaning. I'll wring your neck at that house. Wring off his head, verse 15, and offer it up to smoke on the altar, and his blood is to be drained out on the side of the altar. He shall also take away his crop with his feathers and cast it beside the altar, eastward to the place of the ashes. Then he shall tear it by its wings, but shall never sever it. You don't cut it, you tear it. And the priest shall offer it up and smoke on the altar on the wood. It's already dead. Its neck got run. Which is on the fire as a burnt offering, an offering by fire of a soothing aroma to the Lord. So that, Leviticus 1, gives you an overall picture in regards to a whole burnt offering as it would have been administered by the Aaronic priesthood. And obviously, we would assume some similarity, at least, in regards to what's going on with Noah. So 9, now the offering was designed to teach that aspect of phase 1 salvation that is termed propitiation. A propitiation is a theological term that simply means satisfaction. What Christ did on the cross satisfied God with respect to bearing the burdens of the sins of mankind. God was propitiated. See, you don't have to let these big words, strange words, throw you. His righteousness, particularly, was satisfied, was propitiated, satiated. Another way you could look at it. So 10, the animals used, and as noted in Noah's sacrifice, were from the clean, our word to whore, animals and birds. 11, for definitions of clean animals, again, Leviticus 11, and then also Deuteronomy 14 gives us a list of both. And we'll save that for Tuesday evening. Father, again, we thank you for the truth of your word. We ask God, the Holy Spirit, continue to light us to see things in Jesus' name. Amen.